We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This Yankee Report with Sweeney Murdy is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Every battery for every need, by Wallauer Paint and Design, Benjamin Moore's largest paint dealer in Westchester, Putnam, and Rockland County. And by your Mercedes-Benz Tri-State dealers. Visit MBUSA.com. Hi, Sweeney. How are you?
I'm fine. Are you okay?
I don't know why. There's just weird things that you see that make you laugh. They're funny, but for some reason, they just tickle you a lot more than normal. And sure. For some reason, I don't know, bro. This devil mascot running through the glass is just, it's hysterical to me.
I'm picturing what you're saying, and I will go back and look at it, but I think you've proven to me one of these things that I haven't shown it to my son yet. I think he's almost six. I think he's going to appreciate this, but in my mind, I keep thinking to myself that one of the timeless comedic things is the Three Stooges, mostly for men only.
Right.
And whatever particular point, whatever decade you're in, the Three Stooges will always be fun.
Oh, yeah. The slapstick humor, it works. It really does. Now, before we talk Yankees, I've now become a podcast guy, and I don't mean my own podcast. I like listening to podcasts along with Howard Stern, so I'm very excited that when I drive home today, I'm going to listen to you and the 30 for Murdy, because you've got a big Mariano Rivera special. Tell me a little about it. Give me a little preview to wet my whistle for my drive home today.
30 with Murdy.
30 with Murdy. Yes.
Sorry, the Hall is a little play on words, but you kind of got it. It's kind of been a Hall of Fame run for me the last couple of weeks leading up to inductions. And I will be in Cooperstown to cover them this weekend for the station. 2 weeks ago, we posted with Derek Jeter talking about his memories of playing with Mariano and with Mike Mussina, facing Roy Halladay, Edgar Martinez, a lot of his thoughts on this Hall of Fame class. Last week, I had a two-part conversation with Mike Mussina, a lot of interesting thoughts on him about just his career, pitching, today's game. I think it's really interesting for a baseball fan. I think you really enjoy it. And posting today, my conversation with Mariano Rivera, a lot of reflections on his life and career. And we recorded that at his house about 7 weeks ago, maybe. So that was posting today. And it was right before Memorial Day. And, I'm excited that having had covered these guys for as long as I did, I think that the rapport that I have with them comes through in the conversation. So you can go check out 30 with Murdy on WFAN.com, on radio.com, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, and hope you enjoy them.
You know, and I'm excited to hear it. Mariano Rivera is going to be one of those guys, I think 30, 40, 50 years from now, we're always going to look back on and say he was the best to ever do it. And I truly think he was. He's, in a weird way, the Babe Ruth of our era, in that I don't think we're ever going to see anything like him. With that said, what I find fascinating is when Mariano was here, we would always say, I'm sure you even said this, I certainly said it, boy, you're really going to miss him when he's gone. And Yankee fans miss Mariano Rivera, don't get me wrong. But the Yankees have done such a good job of having really good closers since Mariano's been gone, whether it was David Robertson for a few years, whether it's Aroldis Chapman now. None of those guys are Mariano. No one's saying that they are. But you look around baseball at all the other teams, what the Nationals have dealt with, what the Mets have dealt with, what the Red Sox are dealing with. Every team has had to deal with the awful closers. And the Yankees, maybe it started with Mariano Rivera, really John Wetland, I guess, before that. They have had a remarkable run of having some of the better closers in baseballs over the last couple of decades.
Well, think about what you just mentioned, though. Mariano's been gone 5 years, right? The Yankees have used, what, David Robertson, Aroldis Chapman.
Dellen a little
Miller,
bit.
Dellen Betances. You know, it's not that it's hard to find a closer. It's just hard to find one to do it as long as Mariano did it at that level. Even before him, a lot of the elite closers in the game, you would think a shelf life of real dominance was probably 4, 5, 6, 7 years. Go back and look at guys like Billy Wagner, John Franco, Trevor Hoffman. Trevor Hoffman did it for a long time too. But you're talking about a small window compared to what Mariano Rivera did. That's the big difference. it's not hard to find somebody to close 30 or 40 games in a season. It's hard to find somebody to do it for 15 or 20.
Yeah, and you don't see many of them. It's part of Mariano's brilliance. We're talking to Sweeney Marty. You can download that podcast and check it out. This team right now continues to not only get really good performances from their star players. Aaron Judge has been really good since he's come back. Gary Sanchez has had a great year. Brett Gardner's had a very good year. But they continue to get contributions from guys who back in March either weren't on this team or you never thought they would be a factor. So Mike Tauchman is the one guy that hits a home run over the weekend. And Tauchman's really good defensively. He's better defensively than Clint Frazier. But what do you make of the fact that we haven't seen Clint Frazier? Do you believe it is mostly about his defense and playing time? Or is there something more for why we haven't seen Clint Frazier in a while at the major league level?
I think if you look at the role that Tauchman is being asked to play, that's not a role that fits Clint Frazier right now. Play once a week, go in for defense, something like that. That's the role that Tauchman is being asked to play. When Clint Frazier was here, he was here in an everyday role. And when that everyday role disappeared, that's when they sent him back for more playing time. Now, he has struggled since being sent down. I'm sure a big part of him is dealing with disappointment and frustration at performing so well and not having a spot on the big league roster. But right now, he is not one of the Yankees' everyday outfielders, and that's why he's not here. Could that change with a trade, being part of a trade? Yeah, absolutely. I don't know that it's a certainty, but I think the Yankees value his, I think the Yankees know what his value is, and at this particular point in time, that value doesn't have a spot on this roster.
Does he have, from what you're hearing, a lot of value on the open market for a potential pitcher? Where do you hear the feel is around baseball for Clint Frazier?
I think Clint Frazier has value because he's, 22 still and is a legit bat, and I think he's shown that in his brief time at the major league level. He's shown what he can do offensively. His defense, we didn't really get a great look at him defensively until this year, and yeah, he struggled with that. So I don't know that I think that'll be used against him against the Yankees negotiations. I don't think that significantly impacts his value because I think you've seen players who can hit find themselves in legit big league situations, and obviously the DH helps in the American League. He's still so young, and he has shown what he can do in a short period of time offensively. That's tremendous value right there. So what that brings back, it's really hard to say. And I don't know if the Yankees are dangling him necessarily. I think they know he has value that they can use, but I don't think they're out there saying, okay, here's Clint Frazier. What will you give us for him?
Right.
I think every situation with every pitcher they're talking about is unique.
Do you think he's worth any of the arms we hear on the open market? Bumgarner, Marcus Stroman. I doubt Trevor Bauer. I can't buy that the Indians are flipping him. They're so in the race. But do you think, in your opinion, Clint Frazier is worth a pitcher of that caliber?
I think he's worth, we'll put it this way. Look at what and I know that there are teams who are looking at this. Remember what the Rays and Pirates matched up on for Chris Archer, who had more control. He was not in his walk year.
A lot.
They got Austin Meadows
yep.
and
Tyler Glasnow.
Tyler Glasnow, thank you. Clint Frazier has the ability to impact as an outfielder, similar to what Meadows has done, I would say, as far as prospect value, and I think you've seen that. So when you're talking about what can the Yankees get for him, I would say they could get a pitcher that has more than 2 months of control.
One guy I got to give a lot of compliments to is Brett Gardner. I was talking about this earlier. Brett Gardner, statistically, and I know things can change, especially with some of his struggles in the second half of seasons, and I think the hope is the Yankees will be healthy enough where he's not being run out there every day. He's having the best year of his career. I mean, you look at his numbers, whether it's power, whether it's OPS, whatever you want to look at, other than stolen bases. He's obviously not the same stolen base guy he was 8 years ago. Brett Gardner, at 35 years old, is having the best offensive season of his career. What do you make of what he's done so far, Celine?
He is having a good year, and I think the key is going to be not to run him down in August and September, because if you look historically at the breakdown, those are his two worst months
yep.
offensively. It's really just the process of wearing him down over the course of the season and playing him too much in those months. And I think that's what they're trying to avoid if they can get back to to a healthier outfield. That's harder to do without Giancarlo Stanton. And people say, okay, well, Clint Frazier, but it's still hard to get Frazier enough at bats, I think, and get Gardner the right number of at bats. It's a good situation for Gardner because he's played his way into this, and they value his defense tremendously. And when he's batting at the bottom of the order, I think he's given you a lot of good production and the type of at bat quality that they value too. I've long thought that Gardner is just one of these undervalued, underappreciated, I should say, because I think we always want these guys to be superstars and Hall of Famers. Well, okay, he's not a superstar, he's not a Hall of Famer, but you know, I think you can appreciate who he is and what he's become without trying to break down, okay, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that, he doesn't do this. You know, just look at who he is. He's a pretty good player to have on a good team.
What are you hearing? And we're talking to Sweeney Murdy about the Yankees. What are you hearing about Giancarlo Stanton, who you mentioned before?
Weeks away. Mm. You know, I mean, not close. So yeah, I don't know if there's any accurate way to predict when he's coming back at this point. But I think the troublesome part for everybody is that you're dealing with both upper body and lower body injuries now in the course of this same season. You know, it's something that, you know, I don't recall a player that's had to do that. You spent most of the first half dealing with one set of injuries that was all upper body related, and now you've got a calf injury that you're dealing with. So, yeah, it is a bad season for Giancarlo Stanton. And, you know, last year, I know people scoffed at his production. He was 38-100, and he played over 150 games. And he did it through a hamstring injury. So last year he was dealing with a lower body injury as well. So, yeah, it's the compounding nature of this is troublesome, but I don't know what you can expect from him or when you can expect him back at this point.
You know, speaking of injuries, Cashman made that comment, I think, a few days ago on MLB Network Radio about Severino and working him back. It's probably going to be 6 weeks before we see him again, and they may not be able to stretch him out to go deep into a game. I look at baseball in 2019. I look at the Yankee bullpen. Does it matter? I mean, they could start Luis Severino and get three innings out of him. We live now in this world where teams are using the opener routinely. We've seen the Yankees use it. They have a lot of arms. So if Severino does come back and he's not the innings eater he was before he got hurt, is it really that big of a deal? They can ask for three, four innings out of him, right?
You know, one of the things that I've kind of been kicking around these last few days and talking to people around the league and seeing if I'm, you know, if I'm onto anything or if it's just out of left field. I looked at the last 2 years, the teams that won the World Series had bullpen issues. Houston and Boston both went into the postseason wondering what they were going to do with some of their bullpen struggles. Well, they fixed their bullpen issues by moving starters into those roles. You know, you look at what they were able to do, and I start thinking out loud saying, can you fix rotation issues with your bullpen? And what you're hinting at is some way of doing that by getting a healthy Luis Severino back. I don't need him for 100 pitches necessarily. If I can get 40 or 50 out of him and have a healthy Domingo Germán and Chad Green, I've got three guys. Put it this way, without knowing who they're going to trade for, if you can get Luis Severino back, even if you don't, think of it this way. I've got Tanaka and Paxton, whatever order you want, able to start games one and two, then an off day, which means they rested bullpen for game three. Why wouldn't I want to start, say, Chad Green in game three of a playoff series? And then figure out, okay, is that Jay Happ? Is that, Domingo Germán following Sabathia? The only downside I was told about possibly putting Sabathia in that role is that, you know, given his physical nature right now, he needs a more specific time frame to start, like telling him, okay, you might start in this half hour window. You might pitch. It probably isn't best.
Yeah, he's the guy
so
you start.
Bringing him out of the bullpen is not necessarily great because of that. But everybody else, I mean, why? You know, without knowing who they're going to acquire, I don't see a downside to making that sort of assessment for the middle of a playoff series.
And knowing Cashman, I think he's going to add a reliever too. Maybe he'll add a reliever and not a starting pitcher. Maybe he adds both, but I really think he's going to add another reliever. That's what he does.
I think what the Yankees showed you, just with the idea that was, you know, the rumor that came out that they were talking about both Stroman and Giles, and the idea that when they added Edwin Encarnacion, you know, they're not afraid to add good players and figure out how they fit later. So, and if you're overloading in any position, bullpen is certainly a spot where you can overload and not feel that that's a problem.
We're talking to Sweeney Murdy about the Yankees. How important is this series? And I kind of look at it as it's a much bigger deal for Tampa. They're trying to get back into this race. And after they play these four games, the Yankees and Rays only play two more times the rest of the season, and it's in late September. So this is the final opportunity for the Rays to really make up ground head-to-head with the Yankees. But from a Yankee perspective, how significant are these four games in your mind?
I think it's huge, you know, and I've talked about this a couple of times yesterday. I mentioned to Aaron Boone, who likes to have an even keel approach with his team. He likes them to be up for the game all the time. But I mean, you know what the stadium is like in certain situations when the Red Sox have come to town and it's first place on the line. You know what that place is like and how the intensity gets ratcheted up. I guess think that the Yankees have to feel the same way about this series as they would one of those. You're talking about a four game series, so you know, what you're really trying to avoid is losing three out of four, you know, obviously four out of four. But if you walk away with a split, you've knocked 4 days and had to head matchups off and maintain the same lead, I would consider that a victory for the Yankees. Anything above that is obviously a huge victory for the Yankees because, as you said, they play two more times in the final week of the season, the last five games of the year, and that's it. So the Yankees have handled Tampa Bay head-to-head. They've won 9 out of 13 so far.
Oh, yeah.
It's the reason they have the lead that they have. So just maintain that, Evan. If they can split these four games, I would call it a win and move on.
Yeah, just cutting the games off the schedule. What is the plan for Davey Garcia? He was called up now to Triple-A. He started off in Single-A, dominated Double-A, striking out the world. Now he's in Triple-A. Are we going to see him at the Major League level?
I think that depends on what you see going forward here. He's making his Triple-A debut tonight for Scranton Wilkes-Barre, and I think you kind of go, you know, let him, you know, get through this level a little bit and see, you know, what is he going to dominate this level too? One of the things I mentioned to somebody in the organization, I was watching a minor league intra-squad matchup in March over at the complex, and Davey Garcia was pitching, and they had a kid, 18-year-old kid named Anthony Garcia, no relation, who was actually, he looks like Aaron Judge. That's how big he is. He's huge, and you know he might have some potential down the road too. But they were facing off in a minor league game at the complex, and it was a tremendous at bat. And Davey Garcia is unleashing everything before he finally, I think it was probably about a 10 or 11 pitch at bat, and he drops a 3-2 changeup on him, freezes him for strike three. And I looked at the other guys, the other guys in the organization that I was standing next to, you know, and they all kind of like their eyes popped and they're all kind of smiling at what he just did. And he was 19 at the time, dropping a 3-2 changeup on a kid and just walking off the mound, stalking off the mound with the confidence that he knew exactly what was happening right there and that he was going to get the guy. That's the swagger that he brings, and he's brought it at A and Double A, and now we're going to see what he does at Triple A. And the thing, the reason I brought up that changeup is because I mentioned that to one of the guys I was standing next to last week, and he said, you know, in Double A, he didn't really have to break out that changeup very much. So that's a weapon he can bring out again at Triple A, and it's a pretty good pitch. He's a really fun prospect to follow, and where is it going to end up? I have no idea, but you're seeing. Once you start to see him get through a couple of AAA outings and see what he does to hitters who have had big league experience in a lot of these lineups,
right.
I think you're going to get, you're really going to start to salivate a little bit
sure.
about what the potential is.
Sure. The 30 with Murdy podcast. Check it out with Mariano Rivera. Sweeney, good talking to you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ev.
Sweeney on the Yankees. They open up 4 against the Tampa Bay Rays.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.